Glory to Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is about as terrifying a day as we're going to encounter when we look at the whole span of what the kinds of things that we will hear in the course of a year in our church. It is laced with all kind of imagery that absolutely terrifies if one is willing to look a little bit harder at what there is before us. And we hear these words, we've heard them many times, those of us who are either just Bible readers, or if we are people who come to church regularly, then in the course of our lives, we've heard this gospel lesson how many times? Well, how old am I? I've probably been in church for 60 of these, at least, if not the whole 62 of my whole life. As a little baby, I would have been in church, hearing these words, not knowing anything about what was going on just yet, but I would have heard them. And then all along the way, for 6 decades plus, I would have been present for these hymns of the church and for this gospel lesson to be prayed. Let me read you just a couple of the ones that you would have missed if you were not here in Matins this morning. I picture that day and hour when we shall stand naked and condemned before the just judge. Then the trumpet shall blow with great shouting, and the foundations of the earth shall shake, and the dead shall rise from their graves, and all become of one stature, and the secret thoughts of all stand revealed before thee. And they who repented not in their lifetime shall wail and mourn, and shall proceed to the nethermost fire. But the righteous shall enter the heavenly chamber with joy and rejoicing. And another. O Lord God, what a terrible hour, and what a fearful day, when the judge sitteth on the terrible throne, and the books shall be opened, and the deeds rebuked, and the secret things of darkness revealed, and the angels go out to gather all the nations. Come and hear, ye kings and princes, ye slaves and free, ye sinners and righteous, the rich and poor, for he that is about to judge the whole universe shall come. Who then shall be able to stand before his face when the angels shall rise before him, reproaching the deeds, thoughts, and opinions that came forth in the night and in the day? Wherefore, O soul, beware before the end and cry out, God, save me again, for thou alone art compassionate. Now, if we consider ourselves to be members of Christ's body, if we consider ourselves to be Christians, we have to do something with things like this when we hear them. Because we can't just go on what might be our kind of sensibilities that God is some kind of benign presence that just takes care of me and that there's no risk, no danger, nothing really required of me. Because unless the church is flat out lying, unless for a couple thousand years she's been speaking untruths, she's been archaic in her thinking, she's been faulty in her understanding of human nature, she's been wrong in her reading of the revelation of God to his people, unless that's the case, then at least at times we're called to go to a place that we don't want to go. We're called to hear the kinds of words that we don't want to hear. We're called to contemplate a possible future that we don't even want to think about at all. And it's going to include, at least according to this, some territory that is even more troubling to us. Because it's going to require a lot of work and a lot of effort if I take this at all seriously. Because we are not people who go much beyond a consideration of our deeds when we look at what it means for creatures made by God, for God, in his image and likeness, to stand in his presence, which we, in truth, are doing all the time. And we are standing there in coordination with him, in agreement with him, desiring that his will be done, struggling to have his mind, or we will find ourselves looking for our deeds, which, again, we can be pretty good when we put our minds to it, or if we've been fortunate to be raised in a certain fashion. But then our thoughts and opinions, God, you're concerned about my thoughts and opinions too, even those? And the church tells us, yes. Because one of the big mistakes we make, and man, if we could get loose of this one, we will truly be making some progress and be on our way. That simple little word sin, that simple three-letter word sin, that can so easily pop into our heads and we kind of think we know what it means, but it's in the territory of understanding that we don't think about hardly at all. And so we hear sin, we hear judgment, we think of deeds, and we think of the things that we shouldn't do. And we look only there. But contemplating the things that we shouldn't do, even when we recognize, as we hear, not only sinners called, but righteous called to the same judgment. When we find that happen, what we see is that if my understanding of sin is some kind of offensive action, whether it be to God himself, or whether it be in regard to my brothers and sisters on the planet, in terms of feeding them and giving them drink and taking care of them and visiting them, if I stop there, I am always going to be throttled at the point where I really need to begin to do the extra work. Because we are not people who believe that sin just has to do with behavior. And that sin is just going to be a matter of keeping score. Judgment, just a matter of that list with the tick marks on one side and the tick marks on the other side. Or the judge who holds that scale, that balances in either direction. Our Christian understanding, our Orthodox Christian understanding, is it includes that, perhaps to some degree, but to such a tiny degree compared to what we would be asked to contemplate if we're going to penetrate these things at all in a fashion that can impact our lives. And that is to say that our sin, when we look at that word harmartia, when we look at the direct translation of it as being to miss the mark, our call, brothers and sisters, is to look and see to what degree we are missing the mark, and that's it. Because when I stand and hear about the kind of judgment and evaluate it as just plain old black and white sin, you know, I don't do that bad. You know, I'm not so horrible that people don't talk to me and that I'm sitting in jail or something like that. And that's part of our dilemma, because pretty much everybody in this room right now fits into that kind of a category. You're decent human beings struggling to be good and kind to each other to the degree that your fear, you know, of your neighbor doesn't get in the way. But we think that because of our deficient definition of sin, that is somehow sufficient, and that this judgment that we hear about today is not about our thoughts and opinions, is not about every single bit of us called to be lights, little Christs, to be visions of truth to those around us, to be bearers of that image and likeness of God. And even there, we'll hear the words, and it sounds kind of nice. But if I don't look deeply into what it means, I will neither find myself condemned, nor will I find myself truly freed and saved, because I haven't even bothered to step into that territory. I'm behaving as though I am some creature just made to founder about on this earth for a few decades, for a period of time, and then be gone. Well, this day of judgment, and again, that line in particular, reproaching us for our deeds, thoughts, and opinions. Ever consider your thoughts and opinions? You know, we, in this modern day and age, we're entitled to them, right? From the very beginning, if we know there's one thing about your opinion and my opinion, is that I am entitled to it. that I deserve my opinion, and nobody, and I dare say this probably includes God, if we were to bother to stretch it, nobody has the right to tell me that my opinion is wrong. My God, are we in trouble if that's where we sit? And most of us do. Most of us will reserve at least that one part of us that I am allowed to be right, and that's it. I need not repent of that part. And it could be very tiny. It could be very dressed up. It could look even pious. It could wear the robes of a priest. It could sing in the choir. It could sit in the pew every week. It could be kind to our neighbors. But there's still that place that when I look at them, I'm truly willing to have myself scrutinized in the all-knowing and all-showing light of Christ. What will I see then? See, if we're not doing that, then really, this is boring stuff. If I'm not going there, if I'm not digging into the stuff that's up here by virtue of just being on the planet and having a life and having experiences, you know, and reading some books and doing all that kind of stuff, this is really a rather dull enterprise. To tell you the truth, who would want to be religious people? You know, to just kind of, follow some rules and shuffle along and go to church on Sunday morning and wander up to confession a couple times a year and maybe try not to eat some food. Does that sound like anything at all inspiring? Is that what you want to do with your life? Well, that's the caricature that we turn God and His church into. Because what God and His church are about is about our every deed, thought, and opinion. Now there's something to dig into, to look at, to ponder, to contemplate for the rest of my life. And you know what? What people who have done that have discovered is that there's nothing more exciting than that. Because there's nothing more real than that. So we get to choose. Do I like my opinions and thoughts about how I like to keep it, so I can feel safe and secure, which eventually turn into nothing more than being asleep. Noticing that I'm alive and I'm able to eat and breathe and sleep and go through my daily routines, but it's not very much what one might call vibrant life, bright life, enthusiastic life. Or just what if? What if I were to take what we heard in today's gospel seriously? What if I were to take what we've heard in Matins, if we were here for some of these prayers or Vespers last night, seriously? My gosh, it gets nothing but more exciting, deeper, more interesting. We actually start to discover some depth to ourselves and even perhaps the depth to the neighbor who we try and feed but don't do so happily because we're so afraid of what they're going to do to us if we're not careful, if we don't know them. So brothers and sisters, I would suggest that our primary task always, every moment of our lives, is always to wake up, is always to find ourselves struggling to be here in the moment now, listening to what the God of the universe has to say to us. And He speaks to us most clearly, while certainly He speaks to each of us personally in our hearts, He speaks most clearly to us in His body, the church, in the body of Christ. Because this is where we get the fullness that can stretch us, that can bring us to places that we won't go just by the wandering of our thoughts and our minds. But when we put ourselves into the church's mind, we get to contemplate and consider all kinds of marvelous things that in the end do not become quite so fearful as they become enlightening. And not only enlightening, but light, but load lifting. But there's some scary territory to go through, and there is much, much work to be done. So let us pray that as we find ourselves a week before the fast, as we'll find ourselves eating in the fellowship hall, and it's an unrestricted kind of menu that we would eat today, but we know that it's also meat fair, which means that today is the day that the church would say the fast is ready to begin. The disciplining of your body so that possibly you might even discipline your mind and your thoughts and your opinions is to begin tomorrow in a small way and then in full when we gather next Sunday for Forgiveness Sunday and head full blast into the fast. So we will get out of it, again, what we put into it. That's a thought you shouldn't get rid of. But let us pray that God will imbue us with a true understanding that we are not called to be fearful of this judgment because of our deeds, words, and thoughts, but we are to be true anticipators of even wanting to know the truth about ourselves. Because when we know the truth, and if we can tell the truth, then that's about all God ever requires of us in any regard. Let us pray that these things will be miraculously poured out upon us, that our opinions and our thoughts and our deeds will be transformed and changed, some eliminated, some added, in such a fashion that by the end of our fast, we will not even know ourselves, let alone our brothers and sisters. To God's glory and to our salvation. Amen.